What you're about to listen to is a BriFi production.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the BriFi Podcast. I'm your host, BriFi, your comics guy, and I know I didn't think I was going to be able to record an episode, but I have some great, amazing, fantastic, spectacular news that I must share with you guys. And if you follow me on any of my social media, although I think I only posted it to Instagram, so if you follow me on Instagram, you may already know this tidbit of information. But if not, then this is great, man. This is what I wanted to share with you guys. So every year, well, mostly every year, I think the COVID era was the little outlier. In Houston, Texas, sometime around May, the beginning of summer, there is this little bitty convention that has like all things pop culture, comic books, and things like that. You may have heard of it. It's called Comic Palooza. Yeah, the massive 3-day event, Comic Palooza, that fills the George R. Brown Convention Center in downtown Houston, Texas, from top to bottom, floor to floor. Every room has something going on. There are panels, there are exhibits, there are games, there are vendors, there are celebrities. That Comic Palooza. Well, now that I've introduced you, it's time to let you guys know I will be once again joining Comic Palooza as a podcast guest. I know. Applause, cheers, things like that. Like Snoop Dogg once famously said, I'd like to thank me, myself, and my heart. No. But honestly, it's a great honor to be a part of Comic Palooza once again. I've been attending it since, I think, 2012, 2013, and then going as a podcaster officially since, like, I think 2015, maybe 2014. The COVID years, was it 1 or 2 years? Maybe I didn't go because of COVID, but there was 1 year they had it, but we were still kind of on the fence because COVID had just happened. Maybe, I can't remember, but I know there's at least 1 year gap, maybe two, where I did not go to Comic Palooza, and it had to do with COVID. But even when I was violently ill last year, because I went to some place, not at Comic Palooza, to visit my sister for her birthday, and ate suspicious forbidden chicken wings, and then I got like food poisoning. I was still at Comic Palooza. I was dying in my hotel room, but I was there, and I eventually made it to the floor at one point, pale as a ghost, but I made it. So now I will let nothing stop me. But where was I going with this? Anyway, yes. So I just wanted you guys to know, hey, May 24th, 25th, and 26th. You heard me right. Friday through Sunday, May 24th through 26th at the George R. Brown Convention Center in beautiful, lovely, amazing downtown Houston, Texas. Not only will you find me, a podcaster, you also find tons of other podcasters. It's not just me. So don't think I'm like the special person that, no, there are tons of other shows, better shows, and just from all kinds of things, man. What's been great about Comic Palooza with not only their original lineup, but even with the podcast guests that I get to be a part of, there's such a variety of us. There's such different takes and different just walks of life. And we're not all just comic book nerds. We're not all just pop culture nerds. You know, there's podcasts that cover music. There's podcasts that cover like true crime, movies. It's fantastic. And the fact that we all get to come together, it's like a family reunion, man. There's plenty of people who I now call friends because of Comic Palooza and participating in the events here. Especially just, it's like family, man. Every year it's like a family reunion, and I get to see all the people that I love and get to chat with them, man. So, like, the Metal Geeks podcast with Carrie. What's the other? Raging Nerds is back with Erica. Of course, Cult 45 movie podcast with Brandon and Randy. Excuse me. I'm also driving in the car because I was so excited. I couldn't wait to tell you guys. So, yeah, I'm risking it all. I'm risking it for the biscuit. But, yeah, so, no, that's exciting. And not only are there podcast guests there, I did allude to there are plenty of other guests that are going to be there at Comic-Palooza. Some of the big names, I don't know if you've seen this little movie, this little indie film, like, actually, it is an indie film, Napoleon Dynamite. But, yeah, Efren Ramirez and John Hader will be there. You have, excuse me, if you're a fan of TV shows like The Office, you're going to see Oscar, David, Wallace, and Creed Bratton there. Actually, I think they have real names, not just TV names. But they'll be there. I can't remember the actor's name off the top of my head. You have voice actors that are going to be there. You have comic book artists that are going to be there. You have oh crap, what's this guy's name? Oh yeah, motherfucking John Cena is going to be there. Holy shit, right? That's going to, like, I can't believe that. John Cena is going to be at Comic-Palooza. Well, you might not see him. You know, he's got that thing. But, I mean, movie star, television icon as a wrestler. He just does it all, dude. Like, that is flipping amazing, man. So, I can't wait to see that. But one of the other guests that have been announced that I'm really excited for, and actually we're going to cover him a little bit more in depth today for the podcast, is comic book artist and writer, award-winning comic book artist and writer, Chip Zdarsky. One of my favorite creators. I was introduced to him early on in my comic books career. I say career, but I don't know if it's career. When I was starting to read comic books, I was introduced to Chip Zdarsky pretty early, but I didn't start reading comics until 2012. So 2012 is when I finally really got into comic books, and I honestly have The Walking Dead to thank for that, and more importantly, I had my wife to thank for that, because she's the one who got me into The Walking Dead, which got me into the comic books, which got me into Spider-Man, and Deadpool, and then this little book called Sex Criminals came out, and that's when I discovered, hey, there's more to comic books than Marvel and DC, and, you know, it spirals on from there, and so I really fell in love with Chip Zdarsky, his art style first, and then his writing and his humor. And then he moved on to books like Howard the Duck, Spider-Man, like the list goes on. We'll get into that in a little bit more in depth here shortly. But before we do, I got some nifty nerd news we'll talk about. And then we'll gush over Chip Zdarsky. But yeah, moral of the story is Comic-Palooza, May 24th through the 26th. Book your hotel now. There are three hotels right next to the convention center. You have the Hilton of the Americas, the Hampton, and then some other junk. I can't remember all the hotels' names down in that area. I mean, there's plenty of hotels near the George R. Brown Convention Center, but if you want to be next to the action, you need to book now or else you're going to miss out, man. One thing that I've learned is if you book in these connecting hotels, one, you're going to see a bunch of cosplayers. You're going to see a bunch of attendees. You may even see some celebrities if you're lucky. So I remember there was one year, and it was a fantastic year, that my friend of the show and co-host of the Cult 45 podcast, Brandon, was almost kidnapped by the guy who played Leatherface. That's on my Instagram, me videotaping from across the bar because I was too scared to go over. That man is humongous and terrifying and smells like meat. he smells like Leatherface. And I vaguely remember him like having a hand on Brandon, just holding him there while he's talking to him. And Brandon's face, he's the most polite person, but you can see the fear in his eyes. Like, what is this? This man will actually literally murder me. And it was hilarious. And I narrated the whole thing. But so you may have that opportunity too. You where Leatherface or any other horror icon might hold you hostage in a bar. No, he was actually a really cool guy. He came over to the table. He talked to all of us for a little bit, which was actually really awesome of him. And he was a funny dude. I really appreciated that. And it was just a lot of fun, dude. So, yeah, if you want opportunities like that and chances like that, you should totally 100% get a hotel right next to the convention center. It's a blast. I mean, there's not just the convention downtown. There's tons of restaurants. There's the giant Discovery Park. There's sporting stadiums right next to it. So let's say just for, like, make a whole weekend out of it. You don't have to just go to the convention all weekend, although you should because there's no way you're going to see everything in a day. Hell, you can barely see everything in a weekend. But if you wanted to do other things, booking a hotel, staying the weekend is the best thing that you can do. Talking about best things, you need to get your tickets now. I think they've already gone up in price from their cheaper price, but you need to get them now because I don't think they'll ever run out because it's just that massive of an event, but you definitely want to get them. You have plenty of options if you just want to do one day. You can do weekend passes, which is the best bang for your buck. They have VIPs where they give you like photo op opportunities or special meet and greets. You need to go to comicpalooza.com, look up tickets. You can see what's right for you, right for your family, and right for your nerddom, man. Don't miss out. There'll be tons of things like games and just there's so much. We'll talk more about it in the weeks to come, what's all there to do at Comic Palooza and what to see. This is more just to tell you guys, hey, Comic Palooza is May 24th through the 26th. I will be there. You need to be there. Get a hotel, get a tickets, and get your ass to Houston, Texas. That being said, now let's get into some nifty nerd news, and then we're going to talk about some Chip Zdarsky. All right, guys, just a little bit of nifty nerd news today because I want to talk about more Comic Palooza stuff and Chip Zdarsky. And I really, like I've said in previous podcasts, currently I am in the middle of an outage at work, so I am balls to the wall 12 hours a day, like 7 days a week working. I mean, I get one day off, but I work four off one, and on that one day I want to spend time with my family. I don't want to spend time just trying to look up nerd shit on my phone. So yeah, that's kind of why it's been a little bit more difficult for me to put shows together because I'm just, my time is limited and I am tired. But yeah, so this week wanted to tell you guys, Kevin Feige went to, what is it, CinemaCon? And I mean, not just Kevin Feige, but a whole bunch of people went to CinemaCon. But Kevin was there, and he had some special footage and info about two new movies coming out from Marvel. I say new. We know they were coming out, but they haven't come out yet. That's Deadpool and Captain America 4. I think it, Captain America A New World or something. I can't remember what the subtext was for that show. But... good things, man. Sounds like good things from the new source or the source that I heard from. What was I? Was I on comicbook.com or I can't remember where I found the article, which is terrible, right? You should know your sources, but I was on Reddit, and Reddit has tons of other sources. So, like, using Reddit as a source is like using Wikipedia as a source, where yes, the information is on that site, but the sources actually come from different places. So, anywho, so Kevin Feige, of course, had a lot to say about Deadpool. He even cussed a lot, which we like to hear, using the F word because, one, it's fun to say the F word, but yeah, kids, go say it to your parents. It's a sentence enhancer. We saw that episode of SpongeBob, but no, I mean, Deadpool's like Disney Marvel's first R-rated superhero film. Of course, Deadpool has been around for two movies already, but this is the first with Disney and with all those toys that he gets to play with now, and including, you know, I mean, to some of the stuff he's still got, like the Fox X-Men stuff. But so Kevin Feige had some fun with that. I think they played like about 10 minutes, maybe a little less, worth of movie for the audience. Spoiler-free parts of the movie for the audience, and it went fairly well. We got to see, from reports, they got to see a lot of what was in the trailer, but they did expand on some things, and it seems like it overall went really well. It was a lot of fun. Ooh, sorry, I tried to not hiccup, burp. Something happened with my body. But yeah, so it seems like it went really well. People, audiences had a bunch of fun. Then they showed a bit of clips for Captain America Brave New World, and that seemed to do equally as well and have a lot of fun. Got to introduce Thunderbolt Ross as the president? What? And he wants to start, I guess you call it, the Thunderbolts Initiative. Well, maybe not the Thunderbolt, but the Thunderbolts, which is essentially the government's superhero arm. And if I remember comic books correctly, I've never really read the Thunderbolts. I was aware of who they are. It was basically villains turned superheroes who would do the type of missions and jobs that you didn't want, you know, this your Captain America's and Iron Man's doing, because the optics on them are not the best. But so that movie's coming out. It looks great. I love Sam Wilson's Captain America, and I think it's just gonna be a blast, man. I think it's just fun, dude. And I'm jealous that these people at CinemaCon got to have their first looks at this while I just sit at work doing work things and be miserable. Anywho, yeah, so that stuff is going on. In other news, the Pokemon Company, specifically Pokemon Go, has announced that Pokemon Day will be in, you're not going to believe this, April 20th. That's right. Pokemon Day is going to be on 420 Blaze. And you'll never guess the Pokemon that they will be focusing on for this Pokemon Day. It's Bellsprout. Bellsprout. And there's some kind of fun fact about Bellsprout, if you didn't know. Bellsprout, its Pokedex number is number 69. Nice. All right, someone's got to be trolling at the Pokemon Company, or they are completely oblivious. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if the Pokemon Go, the hub, is U.S.-based or Japan-based, but if it's U.S.-based, someone is clearly trolling. Now, if it's based in Japan, it's possible that they don't have the same connections that we do, or like the same, you know, like they have different things that they're like, hee hee, this is funny, giggly, and they wouldn't realize in America 420 and 69 are our little hee hee, that's funny thing. But I think it's just a blast. It's going to be hilarious. I'm off that day, which I'm really excited for, so I finally get to, like, I probably still won't be playing Pokemon Go that day. I'll probably find something else to do. It's an off day, so I want to do other things. But, you know, maybe I will be partaking. Well, I won't be actually partaking any 420 events except for the Pokemon aspect of that, because I don't do that because of my job. But, well, I don't ever. Actually, now that I think about it, no, I just have never 420 to anything. Yeah, and I don't know why we're talking in code about this, but yeah, no, I'm a good boy. I'm an angel. I'm just a baby. No. I drink. Not heavily, like maybe once a month. But that's like my thing. Comic books, a drink of alcohol, sugar. That's the thing. Sugar is my thing. And cards, Pokemon cards, baseball cards. That's my true addiction. Like, I could be addicted to drugs or alcohol, but no, baseball, trading cards. That, and I'm sure at this point my wife kind of wishes I was addicted to something else because she's tired of this hyperfixation, but this is like one that just I don't think is going to go away. So yeah, April 20th, Bellsprout Day for Pokemon Go Day. So be excited for that. I am hugely excited for this next bit of information. So the live action One Piece season 2 is set to start production in June of this year. So hopefully we get something by next year. And hopefully they, as soon as like they finish, they start on season 3 so we can get them back to back as fast as possible, because I have really enjoyed the live action One Piece. I think Netflix is finally starting to get it. It's just been great, man. I really enjoyed it. I love the actors. They're really funny people outside of their creation of One Piece. And I think it's a fun, great show, man. And so I'm excited that things are going to be kicking off soon, and that hopefully even sooner. Well, I mean, it's going to be next year at some point we get a season 2 of One Piece. And One Piece has been a show that I've been aware of for a very long time. The anime I've been aware of for a very long time. And I always thought to myself, it's not for me. Until my wife proved me wrong. She got into it, and I don't even remember how she got into One Piece. But she basically was just like, you know what? It's 1,000 episodes. I got a lot of time. Let's knock this out. And she did. She just beasted through it. And it's a fantastic show, man. I was watching every now and then a few episodes. And then next thing I know, I'm watching every episode. And now I'm waiting alongside her for the new episodes to come out. And started reading the manga and getting in, falling in love with the trading card game, cards and things like that. Like, and now the live action, and a lot of other people have found the live action and now gone back to the anime. And what's cool, we've talked about this in another episode, they are rebooting a kind of more streamlined version of the anime for the newer people. So I think this is great, man. I think this is really cool and really awesome. And I'm really excited for it. And then the last bit of news that we'll talk about today is an issue of Action Comics. I believe it's issue number 1. I would be lying if I... Yep, it was issue number 1. Which, Action Comics, issue number 1, famous Superman chunking a car at bad guys. Well, I think he's throwing it into a rock, but there's some bad guys around. It's iconic. I think we all know about it. If you're into comic books at all, you know about Action Comics number 1. A copy of it just sold recently for $6 million. You heard that right. $6 million. Holy crap, dude. This is the most expensive comic book ever sold. Trouncing Amazing Fantasy number 15, which was the first appearance of Spider-Man. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's gross that someone can afford to pay $6 million for a comic book where you could just read them digitally. No, I mean, it's definitely a piece to have. It's history to have. It's like treasure, man. It's treasure of the new world, treasure of this generation. It's like if I found a first edition Charizard holographic, I would be treating it the exact same way. Although it's not worth $6 million. It is worth a lot. My God. Like, this is the things nerds dream of. Like, you're just going through an old estate sale or garage sale, and just there's just a bundle of comic books. And in that bundle of comic books is an Amazing Fantasy 15 or an Action Comics number 1 or New Mutants 90, or I can't remember which one's Deadpool. I was just trying to think of just things. excuse me. But, like, finding those things is like, you know, that's what we all dream of, dude. But, you know, I just think it's crazy, man. A comic book, $6 million. Paper. But it's not just paper, dude. The comic book is more than that. It is an idea. It is... a feeling. It's a whole bunch of stuff. And I mean, when you think about when that comic book came out way back, 30s, late 30s, early 40s. No, I think 30s, maybe 20s. It's hard to remember, man, but we've lived through world wars. Like, this comic book has lived through wars and shortages and droughts and recessions and all the things that history has, like, the history that this comic book has gone through just physically, not even just with the character of Superman and all that, but just the physical paper and the fact that it has survived for that long and in that good of condition. I'm trying to remember what it was, a graded comic book. See if I can find the story for you guys. I'm in a place with really crappy internet, but the comic book was actually a fairly decent grade. I mean, we're not talking like a Jim Mint 10, anything like that. I think it was like a 6 or maybe a little lower than that. But the fact that it survived this long and in that good of condition is a testament to the person who took care of it, or I don't know. Maybe it was just trapped in a stone, you know, like dinosaur mosquito, like the Jurassic Park. What was it? Amber. There you go. That's what I was looking for. And preserved for all of time. And we found it this way. No, but it's fantastic. It's amazing. It is crazy that something like that survived for that long. But yeah, with that being said, that's it for the Nifty Nerd News today, guys. Thank you for hanging around for all that bit of information. Stick around, because up next is the most important part of the show. We're going to talk about some Chip Zdarsky. Yeah. Hey guys, thank you for staying for the last part of the show. I appreciate it very much, and hopefully you guys enjoy what we have to talk about just for a little bit. You know, I just want to gush over one of my favorite comic book creators, since he's going to be at Comic Palooza May 24th through the 26th, Houston, Texas, at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Be there or be square. Since Chip Zdarsky is going to be there, I just kind of wanted to, you know, talk a little bit about him, tell you how much I love him and things that I love about him. And I guess, like, my introduction to Chip Zdarsky and why I think he is one of my favorite comic book creators. So like I mentioned earlier, I got into comics pretty early, or I say pretty early, earlier 2000, I got into comic books late. In the early 2000s, well, I guess early 2010s, or whatever. You know what? I got into comic books at some point in my life after high school. And one of the first comics I'd mentioned was Spider-Man, followed by The Walking Dead and Deadpool. And then it was a book I didn't even pick up at first, but the covers intrigued me very much with their style, and it was the Sex Criminals books. And if you can look them up on Google, just such an interesting, and I think the one that caught my attention the most is either issue 3 or 4 when I had seen it in the comic book store. It had like a pink, blue, yellow stripe design on it. I thought it was really interesting. And at some point, I remember someone else talking about how it was such a great book, and I decided to pick it up, along with Matt Fraction's Hawkeye. Hawkeye led me to pick up Sex Criminals, which led me to find the genius that is Chip Zdarsky. So Sex Criminals is written by Matt Fraction, so was Hawkeye at the time. And through starting to read Sex Criminals, I just really found it to be just so entertaining. Not only was it, I mean, I'm trying to think in my head how to sum up Sex Criminals. It is a story about a man and a woman, Susie and John, Susie is a librarian. John works for this bank. He hates his job, but John has this very interesting power, and so does Susie, and they don't know about each other. And it is that when they come, when having sex, when they orgasm, they can freeze time. And that one leads to hilarity when they realize that each other can do it when they hook up. And it leads to the catalyst of our story. They decide to save Susie's failing library. They're going to steal money from John's bank to do it. And so it starts this funny, like, sex time freezing bank heist. But then things go sideways when they realize that they aren't the only two people that can do this. And the book itself is not only a romantic comedy, it's a look at people and their sexuality, and there's just so many layers to this book, Sex Criminals. It has always been one of my favorite reads because of the topics that they touch on, because of just the human element of the comic that they touch on is so great. And the artwork is fantastic. It's one of my favorite drawn books of the comics that I own, and it's one that I will always hold near and dear to me because I love them. I love all of it. And then later in the series, they start doing a lot of guest covers, or like alternate covers with guest artists that get raunchier and sexier and funnier as the story goes. So it's just great. It's fantastic. It's a whole trip. After that, they came out with a little book called Just the Tips. One of the things they used to do in Sex Criminals was write, like, not just sex tips, but romance tips and just life tips, which were terrible, by the way, but some were really hilarious. And then some were actually serious, depending on the topic. But there was like little quips, like little, and they came from Matt and then one from Chip. Well, that led to a little book that they did called Just the Tips, where that's all it was, were the tips and advice that they would give between Matt and Chip, which were hilarious, by the way. And so that led me to when I found out Chip Zdarsky was going to be writing Howard the Duck, the new series of Howard the Duck. They were going to reboot Howard the Duck. I think Guardians of the Galaxy had just came out, not like a year or two prior, and one of the end credit scenes has Howard the Duck in it. And so Marvel was like, yeah, that's what we're going to hang our hats on now, is Howard the Duck. We're going to make him super popular in the comics. Like, I mean, I don't know what they were really thinking with that, but I saw Chip was doing it. I liked the cover on the first issue. Joe Quinones was the artist for the interior work. And so I was interested, man. And I fell in love with this story. When I tell you that this made me a fan of Howard the Duck, Chip Zdarsky's writing. And I think even in my early podcast days when I was talking about this book, I mentioned that I needed to see Chip Zdarsky write a Spider-Man book. That was the one thing that I wanted so much, because I thought with Howard the Duck, not only did he hit the absurdity and the comedy aspect of it, the hilarity, I thought some of the serious tones that he was able to pull off with Howard the Duck, because there are some tearjerkers in Howard the Duck. I was not expecting that in my goofy duck detective book, or duck private investigator book. But I got it, and it hurt me. It hurt me good. And so I knew right away, this guy should be writing Spider-Man books. Like, I don't know how you get him to do it, but you have to get him to do it. And lo and behold, I think a year or two later, he's writing Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man, where some amazing things happen in there, pun intended. Some great reveals that bleed off into the main storyline. There was some absurdity to it. And I think because it was, I don't know, like maybe because it wasn't the main Spider-Man book, it had a little bit more leeway. I think it was the perfect match for Chip Zdarsky, though, because of his type of humor and the things that he did. But then that led to other things. He's written like Daredevil. He's crossed over to DC side. He has a bunch of creator-owned stuff that he comes out with, like Public Domain, Stillwater. I think he wrote, I kind of just through DC out there, but Batman, I think he did. I think he was part of the Batman Black and White anthology series, and then he started writing like main Batman stuff, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, Chip has like, he has definitely ventured out from when I first noticed him on the scene, or like when he first appeared before me. Not like I'm not like the guy, right? Like, but like before I found him and fell in love with Chip Zdarsky, and I hope he hears this and he knows that I love him very, very much. But it's great, man. I just think it was really fantastic. And now, like, I was looking up just a quick reference his Wikipedia page, and Chip Zdarsky has won multiple awards. I think he has 2 Harveys, and or maybe he has more. He's got Eisner Awards. He has Harvey Awards. He's been nominated a bunch of times. He's, like, some of the awards range from, like, Best Series, Best Continuing Series, New Series. He's not just there, you know. He is a award-winning writer and artist, and he's going to be at Comicpalooza, which I'm so excited for. This whole segment has been me just gushing over this guy because I'm a huge fan. If you have the Marvel Unlimited app, or you don't, go get it. Check out Chip Zdarsky stuff on there. Daredevil Run, Spider-Man, Howard the Duck. You will be impressed, I think. I think you'll really like the story. If you're into that, well, I mean, I guess you have to be into it, right? But I think his brand of comedy is silly and genuine. I think that's kind of what I got. And especially, like, with Chip Zdarsky and with Matt Fraction working with Chip Zdarsky, like, between Sex Criminals and what Chip has done going forward. And oh, what was the other one? Was it Cap Terra? Oh, God. Like, I could go on and on about some of the books that I've liked reading from him. But the genuineness of the characters and their conversations with each other, I've always enjoyed about his books. And that's a testament to the artist as well as helping to portray those feelings and emotions of the characters. And in fact, when I think about that, I think a lot about Chip's work on Sex Criminals, where just seeing the characters interact and the story that Matt Fraction laid out, but having the expressions and the body language that Chip Zdarsky drew for those comic books really just made these characters feel so lifelike, so people I know. I think that was the most surreal thing about Sex Criminals to me, despite it being such a fantasy type book where, you know, people are orgasming and freezing time, and without spoiling too much, like, some people get other powers while doing this as well, but their interactions with each other and the conversations they have with each other reminded me of people that I know in my life, and it felt so genuine and it felt so real. And for someone who can not only draw that way but also write that way, I think it's very special. And I think Chip Zdarsky is a special person and a special talent in comic books. You know, it's a shame I don't have a comic book store closer to me so I could read more of his stuff more of the time. But from the things that I've deep dived into and the things that I've collected of his throughout the years, they have always been some of my favorite books. And so to have him come to Comicpalooza and be a guest there and the chance to meet him and just tell him, like, how much his stuff meant to me, like, early on when I was just starting out on comic books, and how he, like, basically his stuff sucked me into comic books as deep as I got into it, I think. Because I honestly think I was just going to be like a Spider-Man fanboy. Like, read Walking Dead, Spider-Man, and Deadpool. I thought was pretty interesting. Actually, I think I only picked up Deadpool because it just started. Same with, it just started. That was it. Because I was a few issues behind on the revamp of Spider-Man, which was Superior Spider-Man. But, and Deadpool, I think, had just started. So I was like, oh, I'll pick this book up because there's issue number 1 with it. But it wasn't until, like, Sex Criminals and Howard the Duck that I really was like, oh, there are other stories out here that I really want to read. And so it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. So, Chip, if you listen to this, thank you. And I hope to see you at Comicpalooza this year. May 24th through the 26th. And hopefully you have a good time, because I know I sure shit will. So, guys, that's all I got for you today. Thank you for listening to my little podcast. Like I said, you know where I'm going to be May 24th through the 25th. I'm going to be downtown Houston at the George R. Brown Convention Center. I promised myself and my wife that I will not be eating questionable chicken wings, so I will not be getting food poisoning. I think I'm going to stick to red meat only, because red meat, no matter, like, I can eat, like, medium to, like, medium rare red meat and be okay. I guess, I mean, that's because those were not spoiled meat, so I guess if someone, you know, if someone purposely feeds me spoiled meat, I'm going down no matter what. But I'm going to do everything in my power. You know what? No, I can't eat Lunchables. I was going to say, I'm just going to eat Lunchables the whole time. No, it's got lead in it. It's going to kill me. Kraft mac and cheese macaroni. Those little bowls. The little microwavable bowls. That's all I'm going to eat for the whole week and weekend of Collegepalooza, just to ensure that I am not sick. I'm going to, like, put myself in a hyperbolic chamber. I'm going to be Bubble Boy. And just make sure that I am good to go for Collegepalooza this year. Because, one, I regret so much missing out on being able to podcast on the podcasting stage, because it looks gorgeous. I took pictures of it when I was there last year on the final day, when I was just able to tough it out enough to go down there. But I want a chance to be there, be at the table, talk to people. If you're going to be at the show, stay tuned to the podcast and my social media, because I will be announcing when I'll be performing and where I'll be performing at Collegepalooza. I don't know what stage I'll be on yet, but I will be there and I will be putting on a show, and I want to talk to you. So come find me and we'll have a blast. That's all I got for you guys this week. Right, fire out.